Blog Talk Radio.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful for this day you've made once again, enabling us to come and petition you once again for your grace, for the presence of your Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost. Dear Father, we humble ourselves before you today to acknowledge that without you we can know nothing. Therefore, Lord, don't just let your Spirit just be with us, but let your Spirit release into us the light, the understanding and revelation that we so desperately need. Lord, even as we once again look upon this subject that we have engaged in to discuss, to look at, and to know from your perspective what you say or think about this subject. Father, I pray that every heart, every ear that is tuned into this broadcast will be touched by the presence of Almighty God. So, Lord, I am humbled today to be given this opportunity to give your word to those that are listening. And, Lord God, I pray that you would anoint the words of my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday night. Some parts of the world is Friday morning, and other parts is Friday evening. But once again, no matter what time of the day it is, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast. We are here to give the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to you, the listener, no matter what part of the world, no matter what nationality or color that you are. We have been assigned by Jesus to give you the word, and that's what we do on the broadcast. Amen. I want to take this time to give you the phone number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, you know, call this number. Phone line is open at any time. I will pray with you. Amen. If you have any comments or questions, call this number, 323-870-3403. Once again, the phone lines will be open at all times throughout this broadcast. Amen. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, we're going to go to our opening scripture in this lesson today. We're going to Isaiah chapter 58. This has been our opening scripture in this series so far. Once again, I just want to be led by the Spirit of God in giving unto you. So we are opening with Isaiah 58, chapter verse 1. Amen. And I want to say to those of you who are first-time listeners, This title of this message is Abortion Part 4, and I'm giving unto you, the listeners, what God has to say, his feelings and his stance concerning abortion. But I want to encourage you that if you are a first-time listener, or the first-time listener of this series, I want to encourage you that after you listen to Part 4, go back and listen to the first three parts. I always encourage people to start from the beginning, because when you come in the middle or end of something, many times it's hard for you to grasp the subject, and then you will hear things being said, and you may even become more confused as to why, or whoever's teaching on it, why is he saying this, why is he saying that. So therefore, I always encourage all of you that are first-time listeners, or maybe a first-time listener of this series, to to listen from the beginning. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, the word of God says, and we've already opened up with prayer, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, we're on the subject of abortion. And once again, God has told not just me with this verse here, but his people, and especially his people that hear. You notice Jesus said even in the New Testament, there were times that Jesus said, I speak to those that hear. And see, everybody's not hearing. But to those that are hearing, that are listening, Jesus said, this is for you. Now, once again, I can understand on this subject a, quote, debate, per se, between the Christians and sinners. But to me, it gets awfully bad when it's a debate between Christian and Christian. And we have it even among the kingdom, among God's people, that some say, hey, abortion okay, nothing wrong with it. God understands, blah, blah, blah. When there's others who say, no, it's not of God, it's a sin, it's an abomination, and therefore God required those who are performing or have performed to repent. I stand on that part because I've seen the word of God, and the word of God shows me that God is not for abortion. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, the first three parts, so once again, if you would take time after tonight to, if you haven't listened to them, to go back, and this is for the first three parts, I defined abortion and gave you research and statistics, and we went into scriptures. And, you know, last night on part three, for those of you that are listening, we talked about how that the fetus is a life, and that one of the reasons, and back at part one, I gave you, I think it was somewhere around 11 reasons people have given to justify an abortion or say that there's nothing wrong with having an abortion. And one of them is that they said the fetus is not a life. Well, kind of we looked at that last night and come to understand that the fetus is a life. From the defining, from the medical field, Webster, and in the scripture that tells us that the life is in the blood, from the research about how that even before it becomes a fetus, being an embryo, that it has blood vessels that develops in it, and the blood vessels with the cells in it helps carry the oxygen and nutrients that the baby needs to the baby. So therefore, the embryo or the fetus is a life. Amen? So we're going to continue on tonight to talk about abortion. This is part four. For those of you who started on this journey with me in the series, you know I told you that this series is going to have different parts. It's not going to be one part. How many, I don't know. And I'm not trying to run a thing out, but for those of you that listen to me, you know that when it comes to me to giving the word, teaching and all that, I like to go at a certain flow because the Holy Ghost have dealt with me about that, that you don't want to rush things, amen, but you want to go at a certain flow. So therefore, this is my aim that I plan to do tonight. And so therefore, according to Isaiah 58:1, I am told by the Lord to cry aloud about this thing and spare not. I think that one of the church's problems is that we have hid in the closet too much in the corner, too much in the dark room, hoping that nobody see us when it comes to standing firm on the issues of what God has to say this day. Amen? So we thank God for the word of God. Now, we want to look at and continue to look at today on this part four, what does God call abortion? Okay. What does the word of God calls abortion? Amen. This is very interesting because, like I told you, I'm one of those that stand to say, from what I saw and have seen in the word of God, that God is not for abortion. So we're looking at what does God call abortion today or in his word. What does he call abortion? Now, I want to say before I go into it even further, you know, you have some people out there that say, well, the Bible doesn't speak about abortion. And the reason why they said it is because they don't see the actual word abortion show up. Now, what they fail to understand is that Just because you don't see the actual word doesn't mean that God doesn't speak on it. And then you must understand that the Bible itself was translated over into our language. So in the beginning script, they didn't speak English like us, okay? And so King James, for example, you have King James Bible. When he translated over to our language, you know, amen. So therefore, just because the word abortion don't show up doesn't mean God doesn't talk about it. Just because you don't see a particular word shows up doesn't mean that God does not talk about it, amen. Now, we're going to go on, and what does the word of God cause abortion? Okay, what does it call abortion? And we're going to start off with the word abomination tonight, abomination. And according to Webster, the word abomination means extreme disgust and hatred, loathing, to hate or loathe intensely, abhor. So the word abomination, defined by Webster, is something that is extreme disgusting and hatred, you know, something that's loathing, something that's abhor, okay? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse 27. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. And in this chapter, one of the things that John the Revelator, what he saw, was what he called the Holy City, the New Jerusalem. Amen? And as we get into this 21st chapter, verse 27, we notice that he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So John said, in this city, in this holy city, this is what he called it in Revelation 21, chapter verse 2. He calls it holy city, New Jerusalem, not unholy. Okay, but holy city. And he says that nothing was going to enter this city that defileth, or in other words, that makes unclean. He said, neither is anything that worketh abomination, that practice the what we define by Webster as the extreme disgust or hatred. God said that's not going to even enter this holy city. Okay. Hallelujah. It's amazing in the church that when we're supposed to be walking in holiness, we're allowing anything to enter. Well, see, here's the thing about God. This is why he's doing the work he's doing in the last days. Just like the church he's coming back for is going to be without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And as he have things go forth his way, ain't nothing unholy is going to be connected to it. And therefore, in this holy city, the New Jerusalem, John tells us that anything that worketh abomination is not going to enter it. No abomination acts, no one that wants to do abomination is not going to enter it. And that's very interesting that the word of God tells us that. And see, the word abomination, the original Greek word there, is in agreement with the defining of this word abomination through Webster. In fact, it even talks about idolatry. It is abomination practice that is also a practice of idolatry. Now, we know idolatry is a worshipment of idols. Okay? God considers an abomination. And so, therefore, he said in this holy city that anything that works for abomination is not going to enter it. So in other words, what we see is that God does not accept abomination or anything that commits it. Okay? Now don't worry, we're going somewhere. So we get in that right there. Okay? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory. But to okay sin and thank God is, you know, a lot of people like to put, you know, God understands to that, to make it like God accepts it. It's just like today. People think that you don't love them if you don't accept their sin. Amen. They actually think you don't love them. It's just like with homosexuality. You look at the homosexuals now, they want you to say it's okay to practice homosexuality. But when you tell us that God says a sin and abomination, they get upset and say you hate me. If you haven't noticed today, that's the common thing that they're saying now against Christians. Why do you hate us? You know, like Tyra Banks, you know, went to say, you know, one time she coming against this lady who was telling her the truth about the word of God and how that homosexuality is seen. And she hollered, why do you hate us? Okay. Understand this. Let's go to Almighty God. God loves all men. But he's not going to tolerate the sin or the abomination. Amen. Because his word is his word. Amen. And so therefore we see here from John, the holy city of New Jerusalem is not no one that practice abomination nor abominable practices is going to enter this city. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Thank God for the blessed word of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 14 through 15. Luke chapter 16, verse 14 to verse 15. And I want to read the word of God here. And the word says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Now, I look up the word covetous in the Greek to see what does it mean, and I want to get it to you in the Greek here to tell you what was the original Greek word that was there. The original Greek word for covetous there, that when King James translated, he said that our English word covetous would fit this. The original Greek word there is philaguros. Philaguros. And philaguros means fond of silver, or in other words, money that is avaricious. So they were fond of money, okay? They were avaricious, covetous, okay? Amen. And the Bible made sure that we knew this in verse 14, who was covetous, and they was fond of money, okay? And they began to deride Jesus because Jesus told them that you can't serve God and mammon too, okay? You either love one or hate the other. And so when they started to come at Jesus about that, Jesus said, you justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Okay? For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So that which God speaks against that is highly lifted up among men is abomination in God's sight. In other words, for example, the world lifts up that which God say is abomination. For example, once again, look at homosexuality now. You know, you got in this thing now, well, he or she can be whatever they want to be, and They want you to accept it now. You didn't pass the laws. Okay, same-sex marriages, that's abomination in God's sight, okay? Because the world likes to go operate. Remember, the world operates in a sin nature. And so anything God say is wrong, the world lifted up. Now, what's sad about it is that now that spirit has crept into the church, okay? And now in the church, that which God calls sin or abomination is lifted up. You understand about it? And so when men justify that which the Lord speak against, okay, it becomes abomination in God's sight. Okay? Hallelujah. Pharisees were bad about it. You got people today with a Pharisee mentality in the church. Okay? Preach you to death. But when it comes to sin and abomination, they justify themselves in doing it. God says abomination in his sight. So God, anything that is an abomination we're seeing here, God does not accept. In fact, when you look at the scriptures, the first two we looked at now, you see nowhere where God actually prays abomination acts or abomination. Okay? He doesn't praise, so we got to keep that in mind as we go on. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Thank God for the word today. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 16-17 in Proverbs chapter 6. Thank God for the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. The word said, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Now, we're going to stop there for a minute here. Now, remember Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, was a man whom God blessed with wisdom. And so God uses him to tell us that there are six things God hates. Okay? Seven is what he called an abomination. These seven... It's not only things that God hates being practiced, but God said they are also an abomination, okay? Now God allowed this to be given, that these things be listed that he called an abomination. Now, we notice here, you know, in verse 17, that he mentions hands that shed innocent blood. You see, this is an abomination in the sight of God. Because remember, verse 16, he says, six things God hates, seven is abomination. So when you read these things, these seven here, they are abomination. They are very disgusting in the sight of God to be done. You understand that? And we got to keep this in mind as we're looking at the scriptures here, okay? And one of the things he listed was hands that shed innocent blood. Now, once again, the word abomination here is in the Old Testament. So when we look under the Hebrew, the original Hebrew word there for abomination is toebah. And toebah means, once again, something disgusting morally, that is of an abhorrence, especially idolatry. Okay, so God calls this thing even a work of idolatry. Okay, were you worshiping other gods, or making a god out yourself to please yourself? Okay, anything when you're committing idolatry, you're not worshiping the true and living God. You're worshiping another god. So God said, even in the hands that shed innocent blood, there was a practice of an idolatry in that. And it is something that is disgusting unto the Lord, the hands that shed the innocent blood. Now, that hands that shed innocent blood means murder. Plain and simple, murder. Hallelujah. What does it mean by the blood is innocent? Because it said innocent blood. Well, the original Hebrew word, once again, is nalki. Nalki means innocent, blameless, clean, clear, guiltless. This is what I want to say. That life or that baby, he or she, is the innocent. They're not guilty of anything. And therefore, to kill them is the shedding of innocent blood. Once again, in verse 16, God calls it an abomination. So, abortion is an abomination in the sight of God. It's the shedding of innocent blood. It is murder. Okay? And it's not acceptable in God's sight. Now, those of you that hear me speak on this, you would say, oh, you being too hard, you being this and that. Now, I want to say something to you. I have to give you the word of God. But to those of you that have done it, have committed, it's not too late to repent. Okay? But God wants you to know that he does not accept that. Okay? He doesn't accept that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you kill the baby in abortion, once again, it goes under the category hands that shed innocent blood, because that child is innocent. It's guiltless. It's clean. Okay? Hallelujah. It's blameless. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? And when you, that's murder, okay, of what you're doing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that is innocent blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Thank God for the word of God. Going to get as much as we can get in today. Once again, we're not rushing through anything. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Amen. And the word of God says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan's Saul's son delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that I would tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee work very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then would thou sin against innocent, now notice he said, against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Do you hear that? See, the people who are committing the abortion is playing, quote, the role of Saul. Okay? The baby would be David, who is the innocent one. And those like, not just me, but others who are crying out to try to talk to the people about not doing it will represent the Jonathan. But notice that Jonathan told his dad, he said, sin not against this innocent blood. Okay? He called David, he said, David is innocent. He said, David had not sinned against thee. And so that's what God is saying unto you. When you make the decision to abort the baby did not sin against you. Like I said, you know, in part one, I gave different reasons people give to justify. They said, well, this baby hurt my lifestyle. I don't have the money. I'm going up on my job, you know, and having a baby. I mean, I only had to take some time off. Might hurt me in the job. Well, see, you're acting as though that it's the baby's fault. And it's not the child's fault. The child is innocent. And God said, when you abort the child, you are shedding innocent blood. And just like Jonathan told his earthly father Saul, he said, sin not against this innocent blood. He said, David haven't done anything to you. You know, hallelujah. We know that Saul looked at David with an eye of envy. Wanted to kill him ever since he just first looked at him with that eye of envy. Amen. And so I pray that you really hear this because it is very important that you hear this, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 because I'm thank you, Lord. I thank God for the presence of His Spirit because somebody's listening now. And maybe you have been contemplating having an abortion. And see, God has blessed this opportunity. You perhaps you were just skimming along internet radio and boom, you come across this and say, hey, well, we'll sit down and just listen to it. Well, it's not no happenstance, okay? God wants to get this message out to you that don't do this abominable act because there are consequences, you know. When we commit sin, there is a payment for sin, okay? And don't let these other people fool you. I know I noticed I read testimonies of others say, well, I did it. Ain't nothing happened to me. Let me tell you something. Don't you believe everything that you're being told. Now, some of them got some stuff going on, and maybe perhaps they don't know this is a result from the abortion, okay? But us, well, ain't nothing going on with me. I'm doing fine. Let me tell you something. You believe all that. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read verses 16 and verse 21. Amen? In Galatians chapter 5. Now, look what Paul tells us. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he talks about walking in the Spirit, then he talks about the lust of the flesh. So one he's speaking for us to do, and the other one he's saying, don't do this. Okay? So we know that walking in the Spirit is what he's speaking for us to do as Christians. Okay? The lust of the flesh, he's saying, Okay? Verse 17, he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Okay? But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, our spirit, along with the Holy Ghost, is against the works of the flesh. Okay? Your flesh is unregenerated until the day it becomes to a change. But if we don't take hold of it with our spirit, man, with the Holy Ghost, then it would do anything. If you just let your flesh go unchecked, it'll do anything. Well, let's look at some of this anything. Verse 19. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. So now Paul's going to tell you what's fleshly. So you won't get this confused of saying, oh, well, the Lord, he led me to do this. He said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice on that list is murders. okay, which we saw in Proverbs, under the title of the hand shed in the innocent blood, is also an abomination in the sight of God, which Paul tells us in verse 21, that anyone that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. So if they're not going to inherit the kingdom, you know you're not going to enter to the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, found in Revelation 21. Okay, so therefore, murders is on the list as the works of the flesh, not walking in the spirit. So if we're talking about, well, you know, God led me to have an abortion, I'll be like, what God are you talking about? Because he said, hands that shed innocent blood, it's abomination in sight. God, it's just like if you had two men coming up and say, you know, the Lord let us know that we're mates to be married. And he has led us by his spirit to get married. Well, not the true and living God didn't, okay? Why? Because we see his word. He's not going to go contrary to his word. So for somebody to say, well, the Lord knew I didn't have the money, so he led me to have this abortion. No, the Lord did not. No, he did not. Not according to his word we read right here, okay? Murders is under the works of the flesh. It's not under walking in the spirit. You get what I'm saying? So you know, when you're shedding innocent blood, you know, that's not walking in the spirit. That's under the works of the flesh. Amen? Now, the Greek word for the word murders there is phanos. Phanos means to slay, murder. Wester said murder means to the crime of unlawful killing. Unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice forethought. It means to slaughter wantonly, to slay wantonly, or, in other words, to slay undisciplined, unruly, playfully mean or cruel, mischievous, merciless, and get this, inhumane. So this is what abortion is of innocent babies. Do you get that? It's unlawful killing, and it's an inhumane killing. Now, I'm gonna give you some statistics and hopefully some research in a few minutes. In fact, you know, if time permits, that's why this murder or this abortion will go under the works of the flesh. Once again, not the works of the Holy Spirit. See, it's under the works of the flesh, works of the body. Okay, that is opposed to what? Your spirit. Okay. It is the frailties of the body, its moral passions, its morals and passions, which is against the word of God. It's not the Holy Ghost, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the abortion, once again, goes under the category of hands that shed innocent blood, which is murder, which is abomination in the sight of God, which is altogether unlawful killing of a child with malice forethought, is also killing wantonly. In other words, it is unruly, killing undisciplined, and inhumane and merciless. No mercy, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what I understand from my research concerning in the medical field, per se, that there are, I believe, three types of methods of abortion, surgical and medical, and then there's chemical. And I'm going to hopefully just talk about the first two because it seemed like they may be a little bit more popular. I'm not saying don't nobody do the chemical part and take some medicine because I believe that's done. But I want to give you some statistics here first from, once again, abortion surveillance, United States in 2015. It said among 43 areas reported in 2015, 64.3% of abortions were surgical abortions, 13 weeks or less gestation. Surgical abortions.
24.6% were early medical abortions at 8 weeks or less gestation. 8.8% were surgical at greater than 13 weeks gestation. Medical abortions at greater than 8 weeks, intrauterine installation and hysterectomy, were uncommon from 2.2% or less. So what it was saying, even, and I think this is under, this surveillance may have been under the CDC or Guttmacher, I'm not fully sure that, but they were saying that 60, and this is in 2015, and this was, once again, 4 years ago, 64.3% of abortion was surgical abortions. Okay? Amen. Surgical abortions. Now, once again, I want to start off by saying this. When it comes to abortion method, there are three types of abortion method. Okay? Surgical, medical, and chemical. Now, surgical abortion. There's a surgical abortion called suction aspiration. Now, it is used in the first trimester of pregnancy or the first 3 months. The abortionist inserts a suction tube similar to a vacuum hose with extremely sharp end. Now, I want to stop here for a minute because time may not permit for me to get the whole thing. I might have to continue on with a part 4A or part 5 on this. But I want to say that I'm not trying to be gross on this. This thing has actually happened. You know, some people might say, well, I got a weak stomach. If you got a weak stomach, I actually pray you want to hear this. You know, it's up to you. But I believe it's right to let you know these different type of abortion methods that is used when people go have an abortion, okay? What is being done? Now, once again, I gave you the 2015 survey. 64.3% of abortion was surgical, okay? That's a big rate, surgical. And one of the surgical methods is called, once again, suction aspiration. And once again, it is used in the first trimester of pregnancy, which is the first 3 months. The abortionist inserts a suction tube that is similar to a vacuum hose with an extremely sharp end into the mother's womb. The suction and cutting edge dismembers the baby while the hose sucks the body parts into a collection bottle. Did you hear that? Remember, the definition of the word murder, even from Webster, which say even means to slay wantonly, means to be inhumane or merciless. This is what happens when you go get an abortion, especially a surgical method abortion, under what they call suction aspiration, okay? And once again, when the abortionist doctor sticks what is described as a vacuum hose with extremely sharp end to it, and stick it where? Into the mother's womb. And so the suction dismembers the baby while the hose sucks the body parts into a collection bottle. My God. Then there's another one called dilation and curettage. In this process of a surgical abortion, the abortionist uses a loop sharp knife to cut the baby to pieces and scrape the uterine wall. Oh, yeah, you heard me right. I'll read it again. Dilation and curettage. This type of surgical abortion is when the abortionist uses a loop sharp knife to cut the baby into pieces and scrape the uterine wall. The baby's body parts are removed and checked to make sure that none was left in the mother's womb. Do you hear that? Wow, I mean, Lord. I mean, that's, how much, is that merciless or not? Okay. Now, I imagine, and I have to say this, I believe that some people have gotten abortion, don't know this information. They didn't, I believe that some of them have gotten this abortion, don't know this is what's actually being done when they go through these different surgical methods of abortion. Now, I admit there's others that simply don't care. But there are some I do believe because of their ignorance of, you know, when they went through a surgical abortion and the different types they took, you know, their ignorance of what really happens, okay, And I wouldn't be surprised some of these abortionist doctors didn't come out fully telling what's being done. So that's what happens in this dilation and curettage, okay? Amen. Then there's another surgical abortion called dilation and extraction, also known as DNX or partial birth abortion, which is used to kill the baby for far into the third trimester, or as late as 32 weeks old. The abortionists get this, reach into the mother's womb, grabs the baby's feet with forceps, and pull the baby out the mother except for the head. The abortionists jam a pair of scissors. I know this is going to get gruesome. The abortionists jam a pair of scissors into the back of the baby's head and spread the scissors apart to make a hole in the baby's skull. Yeah. The abortionist removes the scissors and stick a suction tube into the skull to suck the baby's brains out. The forceps are then used to crush the baby's head, and the abortionist pull the baby's body out the rest of the way. Did you hear that? I know it sounds gruesome, but see, once again, and this is no laughing matter. This is the part of the surgical abortion called dilation and extraction. See, I'm reading, and I'm giving you different. This just different types of surgical abortion. Okay, and this dilation and extraction. Once again, when abortionists, like I said, reaching the mother's womb, grab the baby's feet with forceps and pull the baby out. A mother set the head, and then taking some scissors and doing what they doing to. Oh no. Oh, no. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. Then there's another method called dilation and evacuation. Now, this is used to kill the babies in the second trimester, 24 weeks. The abortionists use forceps to grab part of the baby's arms and legs and then tear the baby apart. The baby's head must be crushed in order to remove it because the skull bone has hardened by this stage in the baby's growth. Now, I'm going to stop it there for today. That's under dilation and evacuation, okay? Do y'all hear this? This is where, my God, once again, this fits the definition of what Webster defined murder, and when he says that murder also means to slay wantonly, or in other words, to be merciless, that's merciless. Inhumane, that's inhumane. But see, the doctors, they make big kind of money off these abortions, okay? And once again, there's no doubt in my mind that some of these people that have gotten abortions were in ignorance about this particular thing, about what happens to the child when, you know, I go get an abortion, and they say, well, if I say, well, I'm going to have the surgical abortion, and they let you pick which one. Well, I read, what, three of you? And no matter which one you choose, all three of them is inhumane, okay? No matter which one you choose, ain't none better than another, okay? That's being done to a life. It's being done to a life, people. Glory to God. I'm going to stop you here today. We're going to continue on. I think it may be a part five. Maybe not 4A, but part 5. Lord, say the same this coming Sunday. We're going to continue on with this. Go on, praise be to God. So let us pray. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, your spirit and power, the Holy Ghost. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask today that, Lord, that, you know, I pray that you have word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would touch the hearts, the minds, and the ears of those that have been listening. Lord God, let this truth come into them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity you've given me. And I give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Thank God for all you've been listening. If the Lord say the same, tomorrow night, heart to heart, brotherly and the handmaidens, look for the advertisement at the time. Normally it's 7 o'clock, but look for the advertisement at that time. And it's also Fridays and Saturdays. It's heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And the Lord said the same Sunday, I will be back with part five of abortion. Praise be to God. So I thank God for all you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' almighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you all.
Behold.